Brothers and sisters, good morning. So, after consulting the parish last weekend and fewer than five people raised their hand to say they didn't want to do this, we're going to be moving into doing 10 weeks of the Meditations of St. Francis de Sales. Now, you may say to yourself, well, Father, I didn't get a vote in that, and that's because you weren't here last weekend, and that should teach you a lesson that you should remember forever. Okay. Get you about the church and make sure it's in Iraq. It don't count if it's in Abbeville. They're not real Christians over there. Okay, that's a joke. It's a joke. Only Father Albert is false. Okay, so anyway, also a joke, guys. Anyway, and this is going to be very different from our normal homilies. I won't even normally do this part here. We're going to be guided into meditation, which requires kind of a different attitude and skill set. It's going to require us, as we hear today in the first reading, to climb the mountain of the Lord, to be in the mystery of God's presence. So to make sure that you're capable of doing that, to enter into the rhythm of worship today, to surrender to the quiet and the stillness. Make sure that you're relaxed, that you let go of the buzz of attacking thoughts. That your heart is receptive and free. And I would encourage you to either close your eyes or to let them rest gently on the tabernacle. As we remember that we are in the presence of God, that God, who is everywhere, shows forth his power here in a special way, that he is present substantially in the Eucharist, and that he wants to be present in your heart. And so we ask him to inspire us in this meditation, to guide us and to direct us. The first meditation is on creation. And St. Francis de Sales asks us to consider that not that long ago, at most a few decades, the world existed without us. We were nothing. And the seasons changed, and the ages passed, and the world got on with its business. Shocking as it might seem, we weren't necessary to the passing of the world. The world had rolled on for millennia, and there was no sign of us. And recognizing then our littleness, our radical unnecessariness, consider also that God created us out of nothing, not because of any need of his, not because the whole universe was pinned on our existence, but simply because he loved us. He saw that we might exist. He saw the idea of us. And without any compulsion, without any requirement, he he thought that that was a good idea. And in his love and goodness, he created us. And I want you to understand that I mean you individually, not just us as a people, you. As God says in the first reading, you belong peculiarly to him, though all the earth is his. And as you consider that out of his goodness alone, he created you, not out of any need, not out of any necessity, consider also what he created you to be. That in a universe full of stars and galaxies and planets and light, of flowers and fields, of dogs and dusk, he created you uniquely, as far as we know. In this visible creation, to have a mind that can know him, a heart that can love him, a soul destined to live forever. That unlike even the highest animals, we can know truth, we can know justice, we can know what love is. We can know who God is. And unlike even the most blessed of the angels, we can see the sunrise and smell flowers and hug our loved ones. Because in you, heaven and earth are tied together. And with these thoughts running through our mind, now we try to move our hearts to humble ourselves before God, to recognize our nothingness, to remember, as St. Catherine of Siena said, that God is he who is, and I am he who is not. That compared to the infinite existence of God, compared to his necessary being, I'm nothing. I'm a mere sneeze in the wind of reality. And yet he created me. He made me, though I am nothing. And to recognize the disparity between us and God. How often we treat him as if he's our buddy or our equal, or even somebody we're licensed to argue with. When he is all, and we come from nothing. And with the bubble of our ego burst just a bit, give thanks to God. Give thanks. Praise and bless him. Praise and bless him, certainly, that he died for us, that he forgave us, that he redeemed us, but before all these things, that he even made us. That he created us, that he wanted us. That's a gift. It's a gift, no matter how hard life gets, it's a gift to be able to think and feel and be. And to praise him for that. And then maybe looking at ourselves and realizing this great disparity between God and us and the great generosity of God in creating us in the first place, take a moment to realize how unfitting, how horrifying it is that we've rebelled against him, that we've sinned against him, that we've treated his laws lightly, that we've taken his will as optional. That should shake us. It should shake us. That we who are dust and ashes have rebelled against the one who is the source of all existence. And with all these affections in your heart, with all these movements of your will, in your mind, in your imagination, fall on your face before him. Lay prostrate before him and cry out, "I am the work of your hands. Why have you chosen me who am nothing? Why have I exalted myself who am nothing? Why have I twisted reality so far out of joint that I thought I could fight with you?" Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm ashamed. Lord, humble me. And recognize that he does not despise us, but that he wants to rest in us. And welcome him in. St. Peter Damian tells us that in the book of Genesis it says, God rested after he created us, because for the first time there was something in this universe in which he could rest. He could rest in our souls. And he wants to give us that great gift, just as he gave us the gift of creation. He wants to give us the gift of himself. And so thank him. Bless the Lord and praise his holy name with all your being, because his goodness called us out of nothingness and his mercy created us. And then offer everything to him. He's given everything to us. Literally everything that we are and have comes from him. And not in a transactional way, but just in a way that respects reality, offer it back to him. Lord, you've given me everything. Let me use it to serve you, to praise you, to worship you. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to take a moment to search through your mind and heart and think of any resolutions that you've been moved to make, any decisions. What do I need to change? How do I need to think differently? How do I need to act differently? Is there anything there? And recognize that the God who created you out of nothing so that you might live forever, the God who sustains us in being, can sustain our resolutions too. How many times have I said, I'm going to do better, I'm going to change, and then it vanishes like dew in the morning? Because we tried to base it in our own nothingness. rather than asking him to sustain it by his power. And as we rise up out of meditation, I want you to think of one or two thoughts in particular that you feel like God really wanted you to have today, one or two movements of your heart, one or two resolutions, and make sure that by His grace you seal those in your memory. Hold on to them. Repeat them. Right now, grab it, like plucking a flower from a garden, and hold it to your heart, and don't let it go. Don't let this meditation be just another experience that passes into forgetfulness, but seize the thing that God wanted you to hear.